Good job. I want to welcome those of you who are in our Refuge worship service and invite you, along with us here in the auditorium, to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And before we stand in just a moment and read the text, I want to give some background for Hebrews 4 and show you why it's important in terms of your walk with Christ to understand and to apply to your life. Hebrews chapter 4 is a chapter dealing with the soul at rest. If you're in Refuge, you didn't have the privilege of hearing Sojourner, who just sang here in the auditorium, and all of their songs dealt with the soul being filled with joy or being at rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, the word rest is used 10 times. And it means to come to a place of satisfaction, to cease work, to be at peace. Do you have a soul that could be described in that way? When the Bible says in Genesis that God created the world and on the seventh day he rested, it doesn't mean that he was tired and he needed a break. It means that he came to a place of genuine, deep satisfaction. His heart, his soul was filled with joy. It would be like if you had an ideal cabin home of your dreams, built on a beautiful wooded lake, and you and your spouse worked for years to construct that cabin with a porch that ran out over the lake, a dock, where when you were completed with your work, you sat there in a lounge chair with a cup of coffee, enjoyed nature and what had been built, you would find yourself at rest. Joy and contentment would flood your soul. This morning, do you find yourself with that kind of soul's rest? You know, we're living in an age that's full of conflict. But I think by the time we get through with our study of Hebrews chapter 4, you'll be able to see that no matter what is going on around you, you can enter into the rest that I just described. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 4, and I invite you to stand. If you're in Refuge, go ahead and stand as well, and the words of our text will be on the screen. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have good news preached to us, just as they did also. Now the they there are the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews who were moving from Egypt to the land of Canaan, a picture of God's rest. They had the gospel preached to them as well. But the good news did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we have believed. We who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, as I swear in my wrath, they, the ancient Hebrews, shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for God has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, in other words, since some miss this rest, Those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter it because of disobedience. Thank you. You may be seated. In Hebrews chapter 4, there are four places where a sentence begins with the two words, "let us." In verse 1, "let us fear lest we come short of rest." In verse 11, "let us labor to enter that rest." In verse 14, "let us hold fast our profession to claim our rest." And in verse 16, "let us draw near to deepen our rest." The writer of Hebrews is very concerned that you do not miss entering in to a soul at rest. Now, let me show you two or three things about this important subject of this morning from our text. Number one, to have a soul at rest and peace is a great treasure. It's found there in verse 1 where he says, "Therefore, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, we come short of it." Now, if you're here this morning and you slough off an anxious or worried spirit based upon temperament or personality, if you just say to yourself, "Well, that's just the way God made me. I'm an anxious person." The writer of Hebrews says, you ought to fear because you are falling short of his rest. Now, the rest referred to in Hebrews chapter 4 doesn't mean heaven, though that is a place of rest. Because if you look at the text closely, it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, hearken to it so that you may today enter into his rest." You know, some of you may have this thought, "Well, you know, this world is full of tragedy and trauma and difficulty and darkness, and I'll never enter my rest until I get to heaven." No, no, you should fear that you fall short of his rest now. Now, some of you may be thinking to yourself, and rightfully so, "Well, now, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say God does not give us a spirit of fear? But yet in verse 1 of Hebrews 4, the Bible says we should fear? I don't understand. Why the difference?" Well, there is a good kind of fear and a bad kind of fear. The bad kind of fear is mentioned in the book of Acts, where Paul went to Mars Hill, and he met some people who had built several statues to the different gods, and then they had one statue with a plate at the bottom of it to the unknown god. You see, the people in Athens were afraid of the gods, and they were afraid that they might offend the gods. So they built the statue for every god that they thought existed, and then one statue to an unknown god, lest the unknown gods be offended. Paul comes along and he says, "I perceive that you are a superstitious people." That's the translation in English. But he uses the Greek word thesodemonia. The word demon is there. "I perceive you have the fear of demons." That's the bad kind of fear. But there's a good kind of fear. Proverbs speaks of it. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's the kind of fear in this text. When the writer of Hebrews says, you should be afraid that you do not enter into God's rest, he is saying that you should take caution. You should be very careful. You should do everything within your power not to miss his rest. Why? Because it's a great treasure. We have several members who have places, homes, cabins up around Salt Plains. And for those of you who've done any kind of research into the history of the Salt Plains, there are all kinds of treasures that are hidden around the Salt Plains. Why was that? Well, because of the wagon caravans in the old days that were coming from New Mexico on the Santa Fe Trail back to St. Louis and then east. They would have gold and silver, and they would come by the Salt Plains, and they would go there in order to get the salt, which was very valuable. And sometimes they would come under attack. And in order to prevent their gold or silver being stolen by the Plainsman Indians, they would bury it with markers above ground. Some of the ancient treasures buried at the Salt Plains were marked by old wagon wheels that diaries of these ancient travelers would speak of being above ground to mark the place they buried their gold and silver and moved on in anticipation of coming back later to dig it up again. Some of our members have told me they have been very careful to search their property to make sure that they didn't miss the opportunity to find an ancient treasure. I think that's smart. I want to ask you a question. If the soul at rest is such a great treasure, are you seeking to have it? You say, well, why do I need it? Well, two or three things that I can think of. If you ever find your soul at a place of contentment and filled with joy and at peace and just this sense of satisfaction and worry and anxiety gone, when your soul is at rest, you are free. Free. The guy sang about it earlier. Do you realize that the very foundation of legalism is bondage? A legalist is a person who is always concerned that he's not doing something well enough or good enough in order to obtain what God wants to give him. But if you ever find your soul at rest, you are free, realizing that you have precisely what God intends for you to have. You are fulfilled. A soul at rest is fulfilled because he realizes, as the Apostle Paul wrote, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. You know, contrary to much of what religion will teach you, you don't obtain the blessings of God based upon your performance. You obtain the blessings of God based upon the performance of Christ. And if you ever come to a place of believing that, listen, believing it, you will be fulfilled. Someone says, oh yeah, but there's consequences to one's actions. Well, of course. You can be arrested, you can lose a wife. But in terms of God, all the consequences of your actions, which were poor, have been paid for by His Son. If you ever come to the place of finding your soul at rest, you are fulfilled. But not only are you free and fulfilled, you're fearless. Fearless. There's no fear of death. There's no fear of the future. There's no fear in terms of the fear of demons, because your Father has your back. As we talked about last week, this is the message of Hebrews. These Hebrew Christians were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. Some of them were being threatened with their very lives and their livelihood. And the writer of Hebrews has come along and said, no, wait a second. Come on. Everything you have, every good gift, every blessing you need is found in Christ. Be very careful that you do not fall short of entering into His rest. It's a great treasure. Second, to have a soul at peace comes through great trials. You see, some of you think And I guarantee you, you do. You think that your soul could be at peace and your soul could be at rest if everything was just perfect. In other words, the very illustration I gave in the beginning. If you had a nice house and you could sit on the patio and drink your coffee and just find yourself relaxed and everything was just fine, your soul would be at peace and at rest. But this is the message of Hebrews. You will find yourself in dark times. Your cabin may be collapsing. Your lake may be flooded. But your soul can still be at rest. And the illustration that he uses is the ancient Hebrews. He used it in chapter 3 and he continues in chapter 4, where he says they were in bondage in the land of Egypt. Moses came along and said, God has called me to lead you out of your bondage. They follow their leader to the land of Canaan, but they come to the desert in Sinai and they begin to grumble and to complain. And they say to Moses, okay, Moses, explain this to us. You tell us that God is on our side and that God has a plan, but we're out here in the middle of the desert and we have no food and no water. Would to God you had left us back in Egypt. At least we had flesh pots, though we were in bondage. And we've seen this in chapter 3, how the Lord told Moses what to do. Moses struck a rock and water flowed from the rock. And, of course, the type there, the psalmist says, that rock is Christ. And what God was teaching his people was this. I've promised to be good to you. I will fulfill my promises. And my promises are found in Christ. Now think with me. Verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 4 says, the good news, the gospel, did not profit the ancient Hebrews because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Do you know what the writer of Hebrews is saying? The way your soul enters into rest is that by faith, not sight, by faith, you see the good news of God in Christ. And no matter what your circumstances are like, in your heart, you realize God loves you, or he never would have given his son for you. You realize that his promises are good and he is faithful. And even when it is dark, you're able to say, I'm all right. It's good. I'm fine. My Father, he has my back. It's good. I mean it. I'm fine. When a spouse dies, you lose a job, the economy collapses, it's okay. It's good. I'm fine. My soul is at rest. Everything that counts, I have. I'm fine. Be fearful that you don't fall short of that. But I close by showing you that when you have this great treasure, a soul at rest, it becomes a great testimony to those around you. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. By faith. That means the unjust shall live by sight. Think about that. The just, the righteous, God's children shall live by faith. No matter how dark it seems, it's all right, I'm good. I'm good. My soul's at rest. I'm at peace. The world could literally be going to hell in a handbasket, and my Father has my back. He loved me and gave me his Son. He bore my sins for me. All the consequences of my wrong, he took upon himself. I am at peace. He is my Father. He is good, and he has promised to be faithful to his promises to me. Every blessing is mine in Christ. Oh, that's a great testimony. Let me see if I can help you understand and close by way of illustration. In the same manner that God rested on the seventh day and had this tremendous sense of pleasure and satisfaction because his work was finished, you can enter into that kind of rest because the work of God for your soul has been completed. And you can say, it's good. The illustration is from a fellow by the name of Watermelon Campbell. Watermelon may be here this morning. He wasn't born Watermelon Campbell. His name was Frank Wayne Campbell at birth. He received his nickname later on in life when he planted a watermelon patch out in Clio Springs. Watermelon's 90 years old, one of the most colorful men you'll ever meet, member of our church. I love visiting with Watermelon. Watermelon told me this story, true story. He was 8 years old. His family had moved to Memphis, Tennessee from Eagle City, Oklahoma, just south of Canton. He was born in 1921, so the year is 1929. The Great Depression has begun. His mom and dad had gotten a divorce. He's in Memphis, 8 years old, goes to school. And his teacher in front of the class says, "Children, when butter comes from a cow, it is white. You have to add an additive to make butter yellow." This 8-year-old boy from Oklahoma shot his hand up. "Yes, Frank. Teacher, you're wrong. When cows eat hay in the winter, the butter that comes from cows is white. But when they eat green grass in the summer, the butter produced by cows is yellow." This farm boy from Oklahoma knew what he was talking about. But you don't correct a teacher in the classroom. She gave him a dunce cap. Set him in a corner. Taught him a lesson. Except Frank Wayne Campbell. He was the class clown, and so there on his dunce chair with his dunce cap, he shot a spitball at his best friend. "Frank Wayne Campbell, take your dunce cap and take your dunce chair and go to a closet." Frank Wayne told me that he took his chair and his dunce cap and he went to the closet there in the classroom. The teacher came and it was those old-fashioned closets. She took her keys out, she put them in there and she locked the door and she left him in the dark. He stayed there all day. The class bell rang. The teacher forgot about him. Evening comes. The class has been abandoned. He's by himself in the closet. 8-year-old Frank Wayne doesn't know what to do. He sees a very small window at the top of the class, or the storage closet, and he decides he's going to climb up to that window. He gets there to the top, he kicks the window out, and he jumps down about 10 feet to the ground, and he goes home. But he has the presence of mind the next morning to wake up early, comes back to the school, climbs in the window, closes the window, gets on his dunce chair. The teacher, that morning, it had gotten cold. She comes to the class, has her keys, opens up the closet door, has her coat to hang up, turns on the light, and there is Frank Wayne Campbell. "Frank Wayne, I am so sorry." Frank says, "It's all right. I'm good." Gets off his chair, goes into the classroom and sits at his desk. "Watermelon Campbell told me he made straight A's the rest of the semester." Some of you are in a dark closet. Everybody's abandoned you. You don't know how to get out. I'm reminding you that Hebrews chapter 4 says, it's all good. You're all right. Your Father has your back. Let us fear that we do not enter into that ability to find our soul at rest. I may have just spoken to one person this morning, but my prayer is in the coming weeks, you will see that the soul at rest is a great treasure. It can come even in the midst of great tribulation. And when you have it, it's a great testimony to all who know you. Let's pray together.